Calling all podcast fans, Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new shows to love. Get personalized episode recommendations and easily preview them before you dive right in. Find exclusive video episodes from your favorite hosts and guests. And with some, you can even connect with them through polls and Q&A directly within their episodes. It's everything you want in one app. So what are you waiting for? Try the podcast experience today on Spotify.
This is your brain. This is your brain on the Every Little Thing helpline.
Yes. I need to know what the heck they use in movies when actors have to pretend to be doing drugs. What is it that they're smoking? What is it that they're snorting? And what is it that they're pretending to inject? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Hello?
Hey, Emily, it's Flora from ELT.
Oh my gosh, hi.
So you called about drugs in movies.
Yeah.
Are you a big movie buff?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm so excited about the Oscars. I get, like, the way people get about the Super Bowl is how I get with the Oscars. So if people talk or, like, don't watch it the way I need to watch it, I'll get mad.
How do you need to watch it?
Just silence, full focus on the show. No distractions.
It's like a six-hour show.
Oh, I see. It goes by in a flash for me.
A blink of an eye.
Exactly.
What movie are you rooting for Best Picture?
Parasite, definitely.
How about Marriage Story?
Get out of here with Marriage Story. That's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. It was every terrible stereotype about divorce, you know, the bumbling idiot man who can't even tie his own shoes against the conniving, scorned wife who's just going to take the kids and everything you own.
Okay, I feel like we are in a safe space because I feel the same way.
Oh, thank God. I mean, great job by both actors being able to cry a whole lot. But there's going to be a lingering, like, PTSD sort of, you know, hot rage that comes up every time I think about this. And if it wins an Oscar, then I'm going to punch myself in the face.
I hope you're ready for the hate mail that is to come. Should we use a pseudonym for you or, like, a fake voice?
No, I think I'm ready to be out and proud. And as far as my name, I mean, it's Emily. You can't really get any more generic than that.
Okay, so tell me what you want to know today. What do you want to have answered?
I want to know what people are putting in their bodies when they are pretending to use drugs on camera. Anytime there's a movie where an actor is doing something that looks like using drugs, you know, you can clearly tell they've just snorted something up their nose. I'm always just like, what is that?
We found someone who can answer your question.
I'm so excited.
It's a question I'm asked a lot, especially from the actors. What am I going to be snorting?
This is Linda Reese.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Linda.
Linda's a prop master for film and television. She makes or finds all the things actors interact with. She's worked on Stranger Things, True Detective, Cruel Intentions.
Just some of those lesser known, you know, kind of cult classics.
Exactly. And Linda told us that to be a good prop master, you have to wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she worked on HBO's True Detective, she had to put on her historian fedora.
Researching and sourcing land deals and plat maps and real estate contracts.
On Stranger Things, she had to put on her electrician hard hat.
We had to figure out ways to make a old-fashioned looking Rayovac flashlight have the power of a full-on superpower mag light.
Yeah, you don't think about how much work has to go into all of that. Like, you just assume they just went to, you know, Goodwill and picked up the flashlight, for example.
Yeah, and occasionally Linda even has to dust off her director beret because she doesn't just curate the props, she also has to teach her actors how to use obscure, lost-to-history objects they've never seen before. This happened a lot on Stranger Things.
That was funny because I was a grown-up in 1980. unlike everybody else involved in Stranger Things.
Many of whom weren't even born in 1980.
Many of whom weren't even born. So I was able to say, no, this is exactly what it would be.
Give me an example.
I mean, things like teaching the actors how to use a rotary telephone, the kids.
You're joking.
Well, no, there's a scene where the phone rings and Jonathan, Charlie Heaton, picks up the phone.
Oh, who is this? Huh? Who is this?
And I had to say to them, you have to click the hang-up bar a couple of times to see if the line was clear, which you would do in 1980, but you don't have to do that because nobody uses a land phone anymore.
This is my dream job. You never know what you're going to learn.
Yeah, I have a little knowledge about a lot of things. And you have to enjoy the circus aspect of it, where you're on the road working out of a truck that's parked in a field somewhere.
Okay, let's take off our chit-chat caps and get to Linda's drug cooking hazmat hood.
Yes, please.
Are you ready to get the director's cut on cutting coke?
I've never been more ready in my life.
The dirt on yurt? The scoop on purple whoop?
I'm sorry, purple whoop?
Whoop.
So you thought of a word for information and then you made up a word that could sound like a drug thing?
Correct.
Got it. We're going to get wasted on info.
So Linda says she goes to great lengths to figure out how to accurately depict drugs in her movies. Like, she will put on her journalist pork pie hat and go straight to the source.
I like to get it from the horse's mouth, as it were.
Who does she interview? Is she interviewing current drug users?
Kick it up a notch.
Is she interviewing the meth manufacturing manager?
What a good guess.
A friend of a friend of a friend was able to introduce me to a big-time crystal meth dealer out in San Fernando Valley.
Why?
All right, let me tell you the story.
Okay.
So about 20 years ago, Linda was working on a crime thriller about an unlikely hero. Do you know that one?
I feel like that could apply to a few.
This movie was called Salt and Sea. And like all good drug movies, it has a dealer. And unlike all good drug movies, the dealer's name is Pooh Bear.
Aw, I like it.
And Linda wanted to figure out how to make Pooh Bear's drugs look real. So she talked with this meth dealer.
I met him in a room where he was on the side of the room that was all dark, so I couldn't see him. I could only hear him.
It's like a real life 2020 interview.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. And he was able to tell me all sorts of good stuff. Like, I was like, okay, so I'm holding up these little bags I got, and would you use those? And he looked at me and was like, no, you don't have anything that is drug paraphernalia. Because if the cops come, they can arrest you for drug paraphernalia.
Mm.
He said, that's why we use balloons, and that's why we use cling film that's twisted. We don't use baggies. We don't use anything that is traditionally associated with drugs. And he said, you only see that in the movies, which I thought was funny.
I mean, that's scary. I'm surprised that she, I mean, did she take like a bouncer with her to meet this like big meth dealer guy?
I asked her if she was nervous and she was like,
nah. I mean, I wasn't there for any other reason than to just, I wasn't there to find out who he really was. I just needed information.
Let's get to the drug stunt doubles. The puffin' and the snuffin'.
Puffing and snuffing. Here we come.
Okay, cigarettes. What do you think they use on screen?
I think those must be just really just cigarettes.
No, they're herbal cigarettes. No tobacco, no nicotine.
They're not real cigarettes. They just play one on TV.
I can't believe that. Is it because California has some crazy law about smoking or something?
That's pretty close.
You can't have real cigarettes on a set because it's a workplace.
I had no idea.
Okay, so that's cigarettes, but what about left-handed cigarettes?
Okay.
The devil's lettuce. Phelps Fuel.
Yep, the wacky tobacco.
Right, weed. What do you think they use?
So, okay, it would have to be some sort of green leafy substance.
Yeah.
So probably also a nice little herb.
Yeah, we can use loose tobacco like that in bags. If I need to have buds, I'll often use like catnip buds. I mean, it depends on how much you have to have. Like if you're talking about big bundles of pot, I'll take that sort of Spanish mossy grass that you see around the base of a tree in planters. And I'll use that in the center and then pad catnip buds around the edge.
This is such a funny image to imagine you like sitting in your workspace, taking catnip buds and gingerly placing them around a big ball of moss.
Yeah, or taking bags and bags and bags of flour and rewrapping it to look like kilo blocks of cocaine. Or if I'd be driving somewhere in the car and you've got it all in the car, you're like, okay, let's hope I don't get pulled over because that could be a long conversation.
I know that is, my mind is being blown right now. First of all, catnip, I mean, it's like so cliche. Like, no, mom, that's not pot. It's just catnip. But yeah, the bricks of cocaine made out of flour. That's, of course it is. Like now that I'm hearing it, it all makes so much sense.
Speaking of bricks of cocaine, nobody's snorting lines of flour. So are you ready to find out what goes up actors' noses?
Totally.
We are going to tell you after the break. So for cocaine, there are a few different white powders that you could use as a stand-in. Linda says the main one prop masters use is vitamin B powder called inositol.
But I have had actors that didn't want to do a lot of vitamin B, didn't want to do the inositol because that's what coke is generally cut with. So it has a taste. And if you've got a recovering person, you don't want them to have anything in there that would remind their reptilian brain about how much they should be doing it again.
Wow. Yeah, that's an interesting consideration. I wouldn't have thought of that. It's sweet.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd recognize the flavor if you had it?
I mean, probably like a regular cocaine user would be able to notice it. I just know it because I use it like as a actual vitamin supplement.
Okay, there is another option besides vitamin B.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Baby laxatives.
Baby laxatives?
Yeah, so it used to be. We don't tend to use that so much anymore.
Wait, seriously? Like it's the thing that makes babies poop? Like a baby laxative?
Yeah, but they're taking it in such small doses that you're not going to have the actors running off to the toilet every 5 minutes. Like they're not doing mounds of it.
Oh my gosh. I still feel like as an actor, I'm not sure I would want either of those things up my nose in large quantities.
Well, there's also this trick where if they're using a rolled up bill, they can coat it with Vaseline to absorb some of the powder.
That's amazing. This is what I needed to know. But I bet she doesn't have to teach anybody how to snort cocaine.
Mm.
Is that a thing?
Really, what I've had to do is actually, if I'm asking somebody to snort up, I have to do it first. And so sometimes there's a little reach back into my deep, 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 dark, dark, dark past that, you know, this is how you take a credit card and cut a line of coke.
Oh, my God. I love that. She's like, move over, buddy. I'll show you how it's done.
Exactly. And she said that different actors require different levels of training.
There are actors who walk in and nail it and it's fine, but sometimes you get an actor who maybe doesn't have quite the chops.
Can you think of an example?
Oh, I can't name names. I have to plead the fifth on that one. I can give you actors who do it brilliantly. Matthew McConaughey was awesome when we did True Detective.
He can snort that cocaine like nobody's business.
He can. We did get him right after Dallas Buyers Club, so he was probably well-practiced at that point.
Okay, injected drugs.
Yes.
Short answer? Prop syringes.
No.
Oh, yes.
So you'll push the needle into the skin, and it'll look like it's going in, but it retracts. That is something that I frequently see done badly, because people will take it and put the syringe all the way to the skin.
Which would be like out the other side of their arm in real life.
Exactly. It doesn't need to go in that far. So that's something I always try to talk to actors about when they're doing that. It's like, just go in a little bit.
Yeah. See, you can tell. You can tell when there's been a Linda in the process to do the research and to make it be authentic.
Yeah. And Linda is super committed to authenticity. She said sometimes she even does details you'll never see on screen, like a pill bottle with the character's name on it in the medicine cabinet or keys in their purse.
Like if somebody's walking down a hallway looking at a bunch of files, I don't want them to open a file and see the last movie's rental sheets. I'd like them to see, you know, if it was an attorney, a deposition or something that had something to do with what we were doing. So my feeling is you do all those details. You might not physically see the items on screen, but you will see the work through the performances.
So it's partly about helping the actors get into the mind frame.
Yeah, well, it's to give them the environment.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing in, especially for set dressing, is the layers. And if you don't have what they call the life layer, which is things like photos and personal items, if you don't have that life layer, it just looks like a set. But if it's done really well, you don't notice it. You just feel like you're in somebody's home.
The life layer.
Life layer.
What else is in the life layer?
Receipts stuck on the side of a fridge, a pile of personal letters, a half-eaten plate of food. I'm looking on my desk, for instance, and it's weird things, you know. It's like I've got Post-its everywhere and I've got the little pouches that have my earbuds, and it's all the bits and pieces that don't make any sense to anybody but the person whose desk it is. That's the life layer.
Wow. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to watch a movie in the same way again. I'm going to be much more aware of those little details and how somebody had to think about the half-eaten plate of dinner.
I know. Every single thing you see, someone thought about.
Yeah.
Do you have a life layer in your house?
Well, I guess I must. I mean, I wonder why they don't just, like, hire people who are living somewhere and be like, can we use your house with all your life layer for a while for this movie?
Like life layer for rent.
Yeah, I'm down. You can have my little dog hair dust bunnies for a while. No problem. Yeah, as long as you leave them where you found them, that's all I ask.
Emily, thanks so much.
Okay, well, I'll be thinking about you during the Oscars and just wishing only bad things towards Marriage Story.
Likewise.
Hey.
Hi.
Come on.
I'm Flora. Before we sign off, I want to celebrate a former ELT guest and Hollywood legend who passed away in December. You heard him on our episode about the water phone.
My name is Emilio Radorquia. I changed my name to Emil Richards only because of being in the biz and wanting to work. It was easier to pronounce that than Emilio Radorquia. So I became Emil Richards in the studios.
Emil Richards was a legendary percussionist.
I was the freak at the time.
He used the F word 11 times during our 31-minute interview.
The main freak.
But he really was the main freak. You have heard his work. Those snaps, Emil. His mallets are also all over these unforgettable themes. Emil played with Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley, Marvin Gaye, Joni Mitchell, and on over 2,000 film scores.
We just went to Disney this weekend with the grandkids, and many of the attractions, like It's a Small World, I did all the music for Small World.
It seems like almost everyone in America has probably heard your...
I would say, yeah. Not knowing who it is or what, but yeah, they've all heard me.
How does that feel?
Good.
Emil joined us on ELT to help answer a listener's question about a bizarre musical instrument he helped popularize, the waterphone.
Okay, so this is what it sounds like.
Thanks in part to Emil using it, this weird instrument became the go-to spooky sound in Hollywood.
And now if you put some water in... Being the sound freak that I was, I had to have one naturally, so.
What was it about this instrument that you said?
Well, what do you think?
You tell me.
No, you tell me.
You're the expert. I'm just the dope asking questions.
You're as a dope, what do you think of the sound?
I think it's wild.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I feel really lucky to have gotten the chance to talk with Emil last year. You can hear more about how he shaped Hollywood sound in our Waterphone episode. If you have a question you can't get out of your head, and you have tried the normal things, you've Googled, you've asked people, and you still can't find an answer, call us, 833-RING-ELT, 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Doug Barron, Annie Chelsea, and Abigail Beckman. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored and mixed by Dara Hirsch. Get the scoop on Purple. Whoop! Goodbye.